Five.
Real Quiet is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
Four.
And it is all Barbaro. It is LeBron performing. He runs away from them all.
Three.
American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
Two.
And here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slow in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it.
One.
He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms. Now, let's go trackside and join host Bobby Newman.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the 2021 edition of the Derby Countdown here on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms. I'm Bobby Newman, joined by my partner in crime, Jude Feld, and we are back where we belong on the backstretch of Churchill Downs. It seems like a long, strange trip since the last time we were here on the barn area at Churchill. It is a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Louisville. Temperature going to get up into the upper 70s today. We are expecting some rain both Wednesday and Thursday here in Louisville, but by the time Oaks Day rolls around on Friday, those clouds will go away, the rain will go away, temperature's supposed to be in the upper 60s on Kentucky Oaks Day, and believe it or not, a nice day weather-wise for Kentucky Derby 147, temperature somewhere in the low 70s. Jude, we were here 2 years ago when Maximum Security crossed the line first, was taken down via disqualification, 2019 Derby. Unfortunately, the world kind of went sideways after that. The Derby last year, instead of being on the first Saturday in May, ended up being the first Saturday in September, and most of the media was not allowed here on the grounds, but now it feels like we're kind of getting back to normal, my friend.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation today in that it's not as busy as it usually is. There's usually twice as many people here, at least, maybe three times as many. But you see familiar faces, our friend Jude Redfield, who is the best weatherman in Kentucky. He's out here doing his reports. Usually he's wearing a slicker. He's in a yellow raincoat and boots on, but today he's got a suit. It's just a gorgeous day here, and everybody seems to be really upbeat and excited to be on the grounds for the Kentucky Derby and back to, as you say, almost normal, right? It feels like that.
And even though the crowd back here on the backstretch isn't as big as what we maybe would see in quote-unquote normal years, we are seeing some people wandering around, and it's only Tuesday. If the weather somehow holds the next few days, those crowds get a little bit bigger. The weather is not supposed to hold for Wednesday and Thursday, but if it does, we'll see more and more people. We got to see the Oaks and Derby horses out in their dedicated time frame from 7:30 to 7:45 this morning. And we've had big news in the last few days regarding both the Oaks and the Derby, Jude. First of all, the Oaks, the field was drawn. The post positions were drawn yesterday, a full gate of 14, set to go a mile and an eighth in the Kentucky Oaks this Friday. The Kentucky Derby post positions will be drawn today at 11 a.m. Eastern time. A full field of 20 is expected to go, and it's been a long, strange trip getting to this field of 20. In fact, we really didn't know who the 20 were going to be until basically a day and a half ago when finally Get Her Number decided not to run, and that allowed Brooklyn Strong, who's based up at Parks, to get into the field.
Yeah, you know, and Brooklyn Strong is an interesting horse. He's won three races in his career in five starts. He's by Wicked Strong. He's out of Medaglia d'Oro Mare. He's won going a mile and an eighth. He won the Remsen. So there's some things to like about him, and he's a horse that may fly under the radar because he was such a late entrant. But I think he's got a puncher's chance, as they say, in the Kentucky Derby.
It seems like a wide-open race. There have been so many defections over the last, it seems like, month and a half or so, whether it be due to injury or just due to decision of not racing in the Derby.
Bob Baffert's Life is Good, who figured to be one of the favorites a couple months ago, ended up getting hurt. He's missing the Derby. Bob Baffert's concert tour didn't run very well in the Arkansas Derby. They decide to skip the Kentucky Derby and maybe wait for the Preakness this year. Greatest Honor, who looked like a world beater for Shug McGahee down in Florida, kind of ran a so-so third in the Florida Derby. They decided to give him some time off and skip the Kentucky Derby this year. And then just in the last week or so, we've had several horses that have decided to skip or you know, kind of last-minute defections that have allowed horses who were outside the top 20 on the qualifying points get in. Just in this last week, Dream Shake for Pete Erton, he was somewhere around 19th on the list. They decided to pass the Derby, instead run in the Pat Day Mile on Derby Day. That allowed Hozier to get in the race. Well, Hozier, the connections decided they didn't want to go in the race, so Keep Me in Mind gets into the race. Then Peter Miller's Get Her Number works on Saturday at his home base at San Luis Ray Downs. He worked well, but I think Peter Miller, deciding discretion, the better part of valor, didn't feel like shipping out here, didn't feel like it was the right spot, and that lets Brooklyn Strong gets in. So it's taken a while for us to know exactly who the 20 were. We knew who the main ones were going to be for the last few weeks. We knew that Essential Quality was going to the Derby, the undefeated two-year-old champ from last year. We knew the Florida Derby champ, Known Agenda, the Santa Anita Derby champ, Rock Your World, were in the race. Superstock, the upset winner of the Arkansas Derby. Bourbonic, the upset winner of the Wood Memorial. Hot Rod Charlie from the Louisiana Derby, all in the race. It was those fringe players that have just kind of been trickling in, and boy, some of them, like the connections of King Fury, so happy that they were able to get in.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of those horses were on the way outside for a long time, like King Fury. The chances of him getting in didn't look very good, I would say, what, like 3 weeks ago or so. You know, now he's in. He was out here training this morning, looked happy galloping, good-looking horse, and, you know, he's by Curlin, so he certainly has to have a chance.
Yeah, Curlin is well represented in both the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby this year. Speaking of horses galloping on the track, we got to see many of the Oaks and Derby runners in that dedicated time frame from 7:30 to 7:45. Obviously, the serious work is done. There's no, you know, official workouts. They're just galloping. Anything plus or minus that you saw this morning?
You know, it always cracks me up because you see these horses on TV and they look so big. And then you come here and you see them in the flesh and they look so small. Rock Your World, he looked really good to me. He looked like he was big and strong and galloped very nicely. He was impressive this morning, I thought. We talked about King Fury. He looked good. He seemed to be at the top of his game. Hot Rod Charlie, too. He was a horse that caught my eye. I know you got a little film of him as he was galloping past, and he looked good. And Sainthood, he's kind of a nimble, lithe kind of horse, but he looked very fluid and seemed happy with himself. So it's nice to see the horses looking good. And, of course, beautiful day like today, their coats glisten in the sunshine and makes everybody look good. Even I look halfway good today.
and I think you mentioned something while we were watching them gallop, that the Oaks fillies maybe look even better than the Derby colts and geldings right now.
Oh, the fillies just, they were outstanding. I mean, one after the other. Clarier looked fantastic. Crazy Beautiful, man, is she a nice looking, that's aptly named, nice looking filly. Travel Column, I know you liked, you mentioned her a couple times when she came by. She looks like she's in great form. So yeah, the Search Results was another one that we both kind of oohed and aahed over. So really nice looking bunch of fillies.
And speaking of Search Results, let's tell you what's coming up on the show today. We have an action-packed show today. Guests top to bottom. In fact, all 3 days on the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms, we have guests scheduled, whether it be jockeys, trainers, breeders, owners, jockey agents, handicappers. We've got you covered top to bottom. coming up on today's show, speaking of search results, Chad Brown will join us a little bit later around 8:50 a.m. Just before him, Greg Foley, conditioner of Obesos, this year's Kentucky Derby, will join us on the program. Byron King from the Blood Horse will be here. He'll go over his Oaks and Derby thoughts. We'll have Bernie Sams, the Stallion Seasons and Bloodstock Manager from Claiborne Farm. Claiborne well represented this year in both the Oaks and the Derby. They've got Orr, Byronicus, Flatter, all with progeny in the two big races coming up this week. Nick Zito, two-time Kentucky Derby winning trainer, will join us today. It's been 30 years since Strike the Gold won the Derby back in 1991. And our first guest coming up after the break, speaking of Like the King, will be his rider, Drayden Van Dyke. Drayden Van Dyke riding in just his second Kentucky Derby. This is the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
The ultimate accolade for a racehorse is to be named Horse of the Year. To be enshrined to the Hall of Fame is to achieve immortality. As a stallion, genetic immortality is defined in two words: breed shaper, plain and simple. Two-time Horse of the Year and Hall of Fame inductee, Curlin is just that. Breed shaper, Curlin, the classic sire.
A five-time graded stakes winning earner of almost $3 million. Airdrie Studs Collected is the all-time leading earner by City Zip. Winner of the Grade 1 Pacific Classic over Arrogate, Collected also romped by 14 lengths in the Grade 3 Precisionist Stakes, defeating Accelerate. Collected bred full books of quality mares in his first two seasons, and his first crop yearlings will be unveiled at public auction later this summer. Collected stands at Airdrie Stud for 17,500 stands and nurses. Think about it. Hey, this is Mike Penna from Horse Racing Radio Network. Join us this Saturday for exclusive radio coverage of the 147th Kentucky Derby. We'll bring you wire-to-wire coverage of the Run for the Roses live from Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky, presented by Twin Spires. It's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, the Kentucky Derby, this Saturday, beginning at 5 p.m. right here on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
As they race around the turn, and Polka Polenta has opened up 2.5 lengths as they reach the top of the home stretch. Her three-quarter time was 1:11.3, and here they come for the judges. And Polka Polenta will whip them in. She's driving on a 5-6-length lead by the furlong grounds. Nurturing is back into second. Tully's Hope is third. And down the center of the track, late on the scene, Fayette Blue running a good race after the tardy beginning, but with a 16th left to go, Polka Polenta with an eye-catching performance. Impressive winner here. She goes all the way up top and won by about 10.5 in the end. Fuchsia was second, then came Nurturing. It looked like Fayette Blue just nosed out Red B for the Miners.
That was the call of the 2021 Jeff Ruby Stakes at Turfway Park, won in upset fashion by Like the King, trained by Wesley Ward, and ridden by our first guest on the 2021 Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms, Drayden Van Dyke. Drayden, thanks for joining us this morning.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Drayden, this will be your third Derby, I believe. You rode Instilled Regard to a tremendous fourth place finish as a huge long shot back in 2018. Now you've got a few of them under your belt. What's the difference now for you compared to what you felt like maybe getting ready for that first time?
Yeah, that's a good point. So I know what it's about now. And I'm actually coming into the Derby with, I think, one of the best chances I've ever had with Like the King. And looking forward to the weather we're going to have. And I think it's going to be a really great day. I mean, it's, in my opinion, the Derby's wide open. And there's a lot of great horses, but there's not that one horse that you really have to watch out for, in my opinion. So just really, really excited.
I wrote a feature piece that we're going to play on Kentucky Derby Day, and it was about first-time Derby experiences. Chris McCarron, Mike Smith, and Johnny V all talked about their first Derby experience. What was it like for you coming to Churchill Downs, and any interesting stories about your first Derby?
You know, it was, all I can remember is how wet it was. I mean, I believe that was the wettest Derby on record so far, and it was my first one. And I drew, I believe, the 14 hole, if I'm not mistaken. It's not like this new gate now. It's where the space is. So, I mean, that rush from the right side came down quick, and if you're not up in there, you get bumped pretty hard. But, yeah, all I can remember is, man, I got to make sure I can be able to see because it was so wet. It was so nasty. And to be honest, I only went through about three goggles, I think. But I rationed them. I pulled them down slowly, half each side. But, yeah, just the nerves and the crowd. There was a big crowd that day. I mean, that's the last thing you remember in the gate is the noise of the fans. And yeah, I was just trying to make sure I can see where I'm going. So
very important.
Yeah, yeah.
John Velasco has talked about the fact that it's a mile and a quarter, and usually a jockey's first instinct going a mile and a quarter is to take a hole early and save their horse. But he goes, in the Derby, it's the exact opposite. Everybody's going from the bell to try to get a good position. Did you find that to be the case?
Yes, and talking with like Mike Smith and Gary Stevens and all them guys who's rode many, many Derbies, it's a very, very aggressive rush to that first wire. And that's where you need to seal your position, where you really want to be in the race, if you can get there. So yeah, that's how the Derby is. It's totally flip flop.
Speaking with jockey Drayden Van Dyke, who rides like the king in this year's run for the Roses, like the king coming off an impressive come from behind win in the Jeff Ruby Stakes last time out at Turfway Park. He was running on the synthetic track then. He's actually only raced twice in his career on conventional dirt tracks. He didn't win any of those races. But is he just a better horse now than he was then?
Yeah, definitely. I think you're going to see the best race that he's going to ever had in his life so far. I mean, because if you go back, and I don't think they have XBTV at Keeneland, but, man, every work he's worked, everyone's just skiing on him, and he's wanting to do more, and he's clicking off really good times. And I worked him on the turf. I set about 7 links off some two nice quality horses, and I went by him like nothing. So I mean, yeah, his first two races, and even Wesley said, I don't think he was probably not even ready to run probably at that point, but I think he's coming into himself right at the right time.
You got on him for the first time in a race last time out. What's that like for a jockey when they've never ridden the horse before? I mean, did you get on him in the morning beforehand, or was that your first appearance?
Yeah, first time on him ever, and I just went back and watched his replays, especially the last one and the Battaglia. I think they rushed him a little bit too much, and even Wesley's like, look, I told the jock not to rush him, and he did it anyway. He's like, I'm looking for you to just get him in a nice, comfortable rhythm and be mid-pack, or and just let him relax and then come with a run. And that made it really, really simple for me. And being in the one hole, it made it pretty simple. And I just went from there.
You rode him with a lot of confidence that day. How important is confidence when you're riding a horse?
It's really, really important in anything you do in this sport, for sure. The horse can feel it. Horse can sense your feelings. And, yeah, I think it's just your confidence exudes into the horse, and the horse will perform better. So just like meeting new trainers or anybody for the first time, you look them in the eye, make sure you shake their hand good, and it's something that you need to do.
Tom Proctor taught you that, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, Tom Proctor, yeah. And my father. My father actually taught me. It's like, you look people in the eye, and you make sure you give them a good handshake. You don't want to shake somebody's hand like a girl. So it's like, yeah.
Tom Proctor is a sneaky good golfer. I think I've lost money to him on the course. He doesn't look like he would be any good, but I don't know if he plays anymore, but he was a pretty good player.
Yeah.
His daughter was all world when she was in college.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, well, Tom would show up in what looked like hiking boots and still shoot somewhere in the high 70s or low 80s or something like that. Speaking with Drayden Van Dyke, he rides like the king this Saturday in the Kentucky Derby. The draw is today at about 11 a.m., Drayden. You mentioned like the king probably come from off the pace. How important is post position to you, and how much handicapping will you do before the race?
I've done quite a bit of handicapping already, just going through the horses and what their styles are and stuff. But I kind of wait till the post position until I do my main study of where people are and what I think they're going to do and stuff like that. But me, in my post position, of course, you don't want to draw the one. But, you know, I'd be happy with anything else. I'm with my style of my horse. I'm going to be aggressive no matter what out of the gate, just to get in front of the few come from behind. I want to be kind of mid-pack or towards the back, but the break, no matter where you want to be, it's key. And to get out there and get going.
Well, you know, Ferdinand won the Kentucky Derby from the one hole. So if you are unlucky and draw the one, go back and watch Shoemaker ride that
horse.
And that'll give you that confidence.
Big brown 20, so you can win from anywhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
He stayed on the rail. Didn't Shoe stay on the rail the whole way? I think he had to come around one horse maybe in the stretch.
Yeah.
At the top of the lane and find a seam, but he slipped through and came on through. Yeah, 1986.
The best thing about that was, like, about 15 years earlier, Mary Jones gave him the boot off of Cougar II, said he was too old, and then he comes back 15 years later and wins the Kentucky Derby. So he was an amazing guy.
Drayden, so like the King, he's a three-time winner. He's won more races than most of the other horses that he'll be running against. Obviously, Essential Quality is 5 for 5, and he's the logical favorite. He's the deserving favorite, being the two-year-old champ, and he's done nothing wrong. Is this a race where you're just worried about what you're doing, or are you focused in on what some of the other specific runners are doing around you?
I mainly focus on what I'm doing, but I'm watching where the others are, and it's funny, we're at Jeff Ruby's last night, me and Gary and his wife, and
you guys ought to get, I mean, you get free meals for a year for winning the Jeff Ruby Stakes.
I don't know about that, but we got one last night.
You should have that video on your phone. You just when you go up to the the hostess or the maitre d' and you just show them this. Right here, Mr. Van Dyke, and we have a special table.
Yeah, we got some pool in there for sure, but we're talking, just like, you don't want to get stuck behind a street sweeper. It's just one of those horses that went fast early and they're just backing up. And you're back there just buying your time, and you just want to get a smooth trip. So you just want to follow the right horses for sure, any kind of race. But, I'm always worried about mainly my horse. I don't try to ride other people's horses and try to get them. I mean, I'll get them if I can do it naturally and smoothly, but I'm not that kind of rider. But I am watching where everybody's at mainly.
What's your vision of your ideal trip with this horse?
Break good, getting a nice rhythm, the main thing. I would say behind the mid pack or just towards the back of it, and just having a really, really smooth trip. If I can cut the corner at some point, turn it for home, that would be great. But I like to stay in the middle of the track, just to give option of to go inside or peel outside. So if I can do that the whole way around there, that'd be nice. But just to not get stopped, that's the main thing, because I mean, he's a bigger horse, he's got a good kick, but I don't want to get all that momentum stopped. So
if he's like 10th early on, that'd be great.
That'd be good. Yeah,
be ideal.
Yeah.
Okay
so can I ask a non-derby question?
Sure.
Drayden? So
it's your show.
I was calling the races at Los Alamitos a few years ago when you rode West Coast.
Yeah.
And to me, he looked like he was basically going nowhere when they were going around the turn. He was a gigantic favorite in the race. I know you were on the outside, and he's a big lumbering horse, and he looked like literally he's swimming, like the foot. And then you got him into the clear in the stretch, and without even trying, he looked like every jump he was going to, you know, two of their jumps. Do you remember that race, and what was going on with West Coast that day?
Yeah, I definitely remember that race. That was actually a really big race in my coming into Bob Baffert's barn at that time.
Was it the Los Al Derby?
It was the Los Al Derby, yeah. Mike was out of town for something else and gave me a chance on the horse, and was lucky to pull it off. But, yeah, like, he's a big, beautiful horse, and for some reason around that turn at Los Al that day, like, I was expecting him to kind of take off and just win easy. He was starting to kind of struggle, and I was actually really, really getting after him really well, and he was not going anywhere. I was like, oh, man. I said, like I was like 1-9 or something, or probably higher than that. It's big, big favorite. And like you said, once he swapped to his right lead, and I just got after him a little bit, I mean, he just lowered and just hit like three different gears, and I knew by mid-stretch I was going to go by all of them, like easy. So
what does that feel like when a horse lowers himself and stretches out like that?
It's really, really neat feeling, and it's a great feeling that you can see all these horses in front of you, and you know you're going to go by them, and you can just be in that rhythm, and it's so cool. But obviously you've seen what West Coast went on to do. He was just starting to become who he was too, in my opinion. So I was happy to get my chance on him.
That's great. Yeah.
It was a phenomenal race. I mean, he looked like he was in huge trouble, meaning not traffic trouble, just trouble of,
yeah.
I mean, he may not hit the board kind of trouble on the turn, and then all of a sudden he wins by daylight. Like he didn't even run for the first three quarters of the race. It was really phenomenal to see.
Yeah.
Well, Drayden, we certainly wish you the best of luck, not only this Saturday, but with everything you've got going on here in Kentucky. We know you're a Kentucky boy. You've been riding for the most part out in Southern California. Back here, though, planted roots here in Kentucky. First full Churchill meet since your move back. Really looking forward to big things out of you, and you know, hope that the move ends up being a real good thing.
Yeah,
for you
me
and
too.
Your family.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Yeah, thank you.
Drayden Van Dyke, our first guest on the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. He will ride like the king this Saturday in the Kentucky Derby for Wesley Ward. Post positions to be drawn later this morning, 11 a.m. Like the King coming off an impressive come from behind win, rather, Jude, in the Grade 3 Jeff Ruby Stakes over the synthetic track at Turfway Park last time out. It was the first time that anyone had taken this horse off the pace, and it was also the first time Drayden has ridden the horse, and it turned out to be a tremendous combination. Like the King certainly looks like he's worked well on the conventional dirt, and you heard it there from Drayden that he says the horse just looks like he just skips over the dirt at Keeneland. Maybe he just simply is much better now than when we saw him on the dirt to begin his career.
Yeah, and he's never really been bad. He runs on everything. I mean, he's run well on turf. He's run well on synthetic, and we'll see how he does on the. He actually ran at Belterra Park first time out, going 5.5 furlongs, and he ran second on the dirt. So he can do it all. He's by Palace Malice, who's by Curlin. And, you know, there's a lot of things to like about him, and Drayden's going to give him his best shot of winning.
All things seem to lead back to Curlin on the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Curlin, of course, one of the tremendous stallions at Hillendale Farms. And he's the sire of Known Agenda and King Fury. He's also the sire of Oaks Runners, Malafat, Clarier, Super Sensational, and Milfoy. So Curlin has been busy. As it was.
Curlin's always busy.
Curlin, we think we're having a nice day. Curlin has some good days.
Yeah, he does.
Like the King is one of those. You know, we don't know what the odds are yet. This time tomorrow, we will know not only the post positions but the morning line odds for the Kentucky Derby. I would expect Like the King would be somewhere in the 15, 20, maybe even 30-1 morning line.
He's going to be a big one.
And he's a horse that I've run into a lot of people. I don't know if they necessarily like him on top, but a lot of people who are using him in exact as tries and supers.
Yeah, and listening to Drayden this morning, looks like he's got a good plan mapped out, and he's excited about riding him, so lots of things to like.
Yeah, that was great, and really appreciate Drayden for joining us. Well, we've got plenty more coming up on the Derby Countdown. When we come back, we're going to speak to one of the trainers who's got a horse in this year's Kentucky Derby. Greg Foley sends out one of the long shots, Obesos. You're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Triple Crown.
dialed in. Winner of the Stallion Making Florida Derby has been a leading sire of his crop every year, including being honored as the champion first crop sire of 2016. His progeny are stone cold runners of all types on all surfaces, and he has two grade one winners from his biggest and best bred crop to date. Dominant Arkansas Derby winner Superstock this year, and Get Her Number, winner of the American Faro Stakes at two. By AP Indy's Horse of the Year Mineshaft from a champion female family. Dialed In is the perfect combination. Standing at Darby Dan.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
An undefeated graded stakes winner on the track, Algorithms, has sired over 70% winners from starters. His top runners include Pennsylvania Derby winner Math Wizard, graded stakes winner Recruiting Ready, juvenile stakes winner and multiple graded stakes placed South Bend. And these recent stakes winners and stakes performers.
To get there, but Kanani will win it.
Algorithms, standing at Claiborne Farm.
HRRN is your home for over 20 hours of Derby Week coverage, April 27th through May 1st. Leading up to our exclusive coverage of the 147th Run for the Roses, we'll bring you live coverage from Churchill Downs, including our Derby Countdown shows, presented by Hillendale Farms, our exclusive coverage of Kentucky Oaks 147, all the Kentucky Derby undercard races, and more. Go to horseracingradio.net for a complete schedule of shows or to listen live.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Then across the track, all Bezos fan wide. Bulldog up the rail as these three-year-olds turn for home. Half mile at 46.05 seconds. Rip took tomorrow, it's Tate to reel in. But now they're deep in the final furlong and a half. Tate up by 3.5. Whiskey double. Oh, Bezos bearing down now on Tate as they come past the 16th. And there's the Orb Colt with Brian Hernandez Jr. Oh, Bezos. Oh, Bezos bounce home by 3. Tate was second. Whiskey double third. Prime Spree finished fourth.
John Dooley on the call of the fifth race from the fairgrounds on January 17th of this year. It was an allowance event that was won in very impressive fashion from off the face by O Bezos. It's conditioned by our next guest here on the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms. Greg Foley, kind enough to join us this morning. It's been a busy last two Derby seasons for you, Mr. Foley, and I'll make you a deal. We'll keep wanting to interview you if you keep having horses running the Kentucky Derby.
Well, that's a deal. That's a deal. I was rested up. I had to wait a long time to get that first one last year. And then lucky enough to get one back-to-back, it's pretty crazy.
Well, speaking of last year, the horse we're talking about, of course, is Major Fed. Major Fed ran 10th in the Derby after a second-place finish in the Grade 3 Indiana Derby. He ran an allowance race a few weeks after that, and we haven't seen him since, but I saw he returned to the work tab recently.
Right, yeah. He's doing good. We just gave him a break after that race in November here at Churchill. That was all planned out, give him 60 days. I took him to New Orleans with me at the fairgrounds, and we had him in training. He should have been ready to run, but he got cast one day in his stall and put a pretty good cut in the front of his back ankle that wound up getting a mess. We wound up having him actually send him to LSU to get it flushed out and all that. But anyway, it's all well, it's all good, and it was a little scary there for a few days, but that's all taken care of, and you'll see him. He'll be making his next start here at Churchill, about 30 days probably.
Well, that was my next question. I was going to ask how long it's going to take him to get ready.
Yeah.
Because he just hit the work tab within the last week or two, right?
Right, right. And, again, he's doing great. Looks amazing. He's a really nice horse. We got hopefully some big plans for him this year. You'll probably see him in a 1X here. You know, we'll start there and go from there.
You've been on a little bit of a roll the last year and a half, 2 years. A lot better horses, or you know, what do you attribute that to?
A lot better horses. We've been lucky enough to come up with – we've got some pretty decent stock the past 2 years, and had some young horses come along and even some older ones, you know. But we've been blessed the last 2 years to win quite a few races and some good races.
That's great. I love your interviews. I've seen you do things with Jenny Reese and on other television programs and stuff. You're always forthcoming. There's no BS involved. You're not telling everybody how great you are. You just go and do your business. And when, you know, Jerry Fanning used to say about me when I was training, if I told you it was Easter, paint your eggs, and you seem like that kind of a guy. If you say my horse is going to run good, they run good. And that's very rare in this business.
Well, way it is, I say, but I hope that's true. I think my horse is going to run good Saturday, and I hope I'm telling you there right you there. I like him, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it looks like he's coming up to the race great. So.
He really is. You know, he came, ran a great race, Louisiana Derby, and going into that race, you know, the biggest thing in my mind was if he wanted to go two turns really or not. And he answered that question with flying colors. He galloped out great, and you know that was a mile and 3/16 that day, and he wanted more ground. And his work here the other day, I've watched quite a few of the works. I thought his work was as good as anybody's, if not the best. And I'm a little biased maybe, but I really thought it was.
Speaking with Greg Foley, the conditioner of Obesos, who's going to run this Saturday in the Kentucky Derby. It'll be the second Kentucky Derby in a row that Greg Foley has a horse running. Obesos had a troubled start to his career. He hopped up at the start in his debut on a sloppy track at Churchill and came from way out of it to finish mid-pack. Then he reeled off two wins in a row, jumped into the deep end after that, Jude, trying the Grade 2 Risen Star in the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby, and he didn't run poorly in either of those races. He looks like a horse that's improving with every start.
Yeah.
We asked this of Drayden Van Dyke, who rides like the king in the Derby. What kind of trip is a perfect trip for Obesos this Saturday?
I think a trip a lot like the Louisiana Derby. We're going to sit and finish. We're not going to change anything. And, you know, just break with the group, hopefully get away clean. We don't get knocked down or banged around, but find his way, you know, over save the ground around the first turn. Just getting a good relaxed spot down the backside and just be sitting where he can maneuver, hopefully a clear path, have something a little in mind by the time he gets a 3/8 pole to the quarter pole to clear sailing down the lane.
You got Marcelino Pedroza on him. His dad used to work and gallop the first horse I ever trained.
Oh, yeah.
And I always root for him because of that. And he's a really good rider. I mean, he's kind of flies under the radar.
Right,
and,
he really does.
You know, sometimes his horses pay a lot of money because he's got talent and people tend to ignore it. You mentioned when Jenny interviewed you that you think he really suits his horse and you stuck with him, which I think is a great thing, too. A lot of times this time of year people jump ship, and the karma factor kind of comes and bites them in the butt. So.
I think you're right. Marcelino, I think he fits the horse good. We wound up with Marcelino. Brian Hernandez rode the horse in his maiden win and the non-2 win. And then, like you said, we jumped in the deep into the pool, the Risen Star, asked a lot of the horse, and anyway, Hernandez he took another mount in the race, and I wound up with Marcelino. And he rode a good race in the Risen Star, flattened out a bit. You know, he's a little keen that day, maybe even a little green. That was his first time going two turns, of course, the Risen Star. But flattened out, you know, when he's usually running from the 8th pole of the wire. Didn't quit, but just kind of flattened out. Got beat maybe 6 lengths or whatever. Ran a good race. But still, it had you thinking, you know, does this horse really want to go two turns or not? You know, it had me thinking that. And Marcelino was really kind of gave me the push. After the Risen Star, he came back and worked him. and just came back beaming. He said, "Greg, his horse, he'll go." I don't know how he won going 6 furlongs. This horse wants to go long. You think so? And I said, "What about the Derby?" He said, "I'd run him, man." He said, "I love this horse." And anyway, we talked it over and went ahead. We're going to try him another time, Louisiana Derby. And just with Marcelino, I just said, I don't care what happens, win, lose, draw. We run last, middle of the pack, win it. I want him to sit. I want him to run the last quarter of a mile. I want him clear spot and running down a lane. I want to see him finish. You know, if he can do it, fine. If he can't, well, he's a good horse. We'll do something else if he can't. And he ran an amazing race. Got beat a nod for second. Another jump piece, easy second. He actually galloped out past Hot Rod Charlie before he got to the turn there after the race.
You're a Kentucky guy, and Kentucky Derby has to mean a lot to you. Are you excited? Or are you?
Oh yeah.
Really. Really excited.
I am excited, yeah. But I'm excited because I like this horse. I think we're a very live horse. I'm not taking him over there just to walk one over there. He wouldn't be going over there if I thought that. And yeah, he's got me excited.
It's great.
Are you a betting man, Greg? It sounds like you're a betting man. You're kind of anxious.
I'm really not.
Like, I'm going to put a few bucks on this horse kind of a thing.
I might. I mean, he's going to be a price. I know that. I don't know what he'll be. I'm sure 30-1 or around that area, maybe higher than that. I don't know. But, again, back on Marcelino, though. But, yeah, Marcelino believes in the horse. He's got confidence in him. Really good young rider, strong finisher, and – like you said, flies, he's a little under the radar. You know, he's leading rider about every year over in Indiana, and he does very well at fairgrounds against a good colony. He's a good rider, I wouldn't have him on him.
Speaking with Greg Foley, who conditions Obesos, one of the 20 set to go in the starting gate this Saturday in the Kentucky Derby. Marcelino Pedroza has been his regular rider for the 2 starts and stake races in Louisiana. Is this something where you will sit and game plan with Marcelino once you get the post positions and figure out, or does he know what he wants to do with this horse?
He knows already. We've talked about it already. It's going to be very similar to the Louisiana Derby race. We want to sit and want him relaxed coming down his backside and just sitting where he can get him in the clear, just kind of maybe have something plotted out by the time he hits a 3/8 pole to the quarter pole. You got to have somewhere to go. And, again, he loves the horse. He's got a lot of confidence in the horse, and he's not afraid. I mean, I'm talking about nervous. I think he handled Louisiana Derby fine, and he's ridden some big races, and I don't think he'll be nervous, Marcelino. I think he'll handle his first Derby. I don't think he'll be under pressure, and I feel good about all that.
Greg Foley, in addition to training Kentucky Derby horses, of course, you've got a big stable as it is, and you run a lot of horses here in Kentucky. Had another impressive come from behinder last year in the 8 Bell Stakes in the Philly Sconson. Sconson came back off a little bit of a layoff. Didn't run that well in the Madison last time out. How's she doing after that race?
She's doing great. Was really disappointed in her race at Keeneland. I love the Philly. I thought we'd win the race. She didn't pick her feet up over there. Came out of the race physically fine. James Graham rode her over there. He didn't think handled the track like she was swimming or what. I just got to go along with that. I've come up with nothing else. She came back here to Churchill and had to work like a freak the other day. Came out of it great and loves Churchill Downs. And we're running Saturday back in the we're gonna hook a pretty good horse in that race. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I would say that's she's
she can run a little bit.
sorry to say that, but I think it's not gonna be a big field. I think they're talking 5-6 horses, maybe. She scares a lot of people off, but we're gonna try it with my filly, and she's a good filly, gorgeous filly, and again, she likes Churchill, loves Churchill, and see what happens.
That race at Keeneland was kind of a weird setup, too. It didn't really suit her for whatever reason. That's how I felt going into it. I mean, I don't know her like you do, but I did bet on her when she won here, and you had mentioned you were on a show with us or something. You'd mentioned how much you liked her. And
she's a good filly. Yeah, hopefully she shows up and runs a race Saturday, and I think she'll run good. She'll have to run big to win to run against the best in the country for sure, that filly, Baffert's filly.
Well, Gamine's not going to face a field of only three others, though, at least like she did last time out in the Las Flores, and one of them being her stablemate.
Yeah.
She'll have to face a few new shooters this time. Obviously,
yeah,
she's
a little workout for her over there.
Yeah, it's always nice to
hopefully make her run a little bit anyway.
Get a workout for $100,000. I'm sure Baffert was not arguing with that.
Yeah,
but,
I doubt if he was.
Greg, we really appreciate you joining us this morning,
Dad.
Taking time out of your busy schedule. Best of luck Saturday with both Sconson and with Obesos, and wish you just clean trips for both, and let's see if they come running.
All right, fellas. Nice talking to you.
Really appreciate
it. Best of luck.
Thank you so much. That's right, Greg Foley here on the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Obesos, one of those who needed a little luck to get into the Derby field, was kind of on the outside, right on the bubble of the top 20, needed a few defections, got those defections, and is one of those that, you know, some people like this horse, and he's going to be a huge price because he just looks like he's headed the right direction.
Yeah, well, you know, his last work was really, really good, and he's coming up to the race in great shape, and you just heard it from the man. He likes him. If he likes him, I like him.
A reminder, join us Friday and Saturday for live coverage of both the Oaks and Kentucky Derby. Friday's coverage, presented by Twin Spires, comes your way from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Saturday's schedule begins with a special Derby Day edition of our weekly Equine Forum show presented by FarmPaint.com from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern. Live coverage of the Derby Day undercard stakes starting at 3 p.m., followed by our exclusive radio broadcast of the 147th Run for the Roses in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That broadcast also presented by our friends at Twin Spires. All of that coverage will also be available worldwide with our free live streaming at horseracingradio.net. You can visit our website for a complete listing of nationwide affiliates and additional broadcast information. This is the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
The ultimate accolade for a racehorse is to be named Horse of the Year. To be enshrined to the Hall of Fame is to achieve immortality. As a stallion, genetic immortality is defined in two words: breed shaper, plain and simple. Two-time Horse of the Year and Hall of Fame inductee, Curlin is just that. Breed shaper, Curlin, the classic sire.
From a world-class team of equine industry leaders with international breadth that honors history, tradition, and the sport, comes business advisory expertise. Providing strategic tax compliance and operational services with innovation and determined persistence, located in the heart of horse country, Dean Dorton is revered for visionary guidance in equine accounting, tax, and business consulting. Dean Dorton. Tax, technology, outsourced accounting. Visit DeanDorton.com for all your equine operation needs.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, reminding you that Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, comes to you every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern here on HRRN. Bobby Newman joins me for racing from tracks like Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, and Santa Anita. We'll also bring you interviews with all of the players, both big and small, in thoroughbred racing. You can tune in to Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream it live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
They're coming for the top of the stretch, and it is Search Results taking over now. Search Results in front, Always Late is back running in second. Then the grass is blue, Maracuja on the extreme outside. Search Results has the lead as they come down for the eighth pole. Maracuja now moves into second. It is Search Results with a three-length lead. Maracuja and the grass is blue giving chase. Search Results She's won all three of her starts, and she does it here under a Rod Ortiz Jr., who now has 5 wins on the Saturday card at the Big A.
The Grade 3 Gazelle at Aqueduct on April 3rd of this year won in impressive fashion by a heavy favorite. Search results for Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz Jr. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown presented by Hill and Dale Farms. Search results figures to be one of the favorites in this year's Kentucky Oaks. Chad Brown, kind enough to join us now on the Derby Countdown. Chad, he's got a major player in both the Oaks and the Derby this year. Search results in the Oaks, highly motivated in the Derby. Chad, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Let's start with the Oaks and start with search results. We heard the call from John Embriel. What an impressive winner she was, trying graded state competition for the first time. Last time out in the Gazelle, she's undefeated. 3-for-3, 3-to-1 second choice on the morning line. We saw her galloping this morning. How's she coming into the race, and what are you expecting from her on Friday?
Yeah, she's coming to the race in really, really fine shape. She's had a couple works since that last win, and they went really well. I love how she's getting over the surface here at Churchill, and I think she's drawn okay. Maybe a touch out farther than we were looking for, but she seems to have a lot of natural speed leaving the gate, and hopefully she breaks clean. She'll be able to make her own trip, being pretty forward.
How much time do you put into your planning process as you're getting these horses ready? I've studied it my whole life, back to the Charlie Whittingham days. I used to keep a notebook and cut PPs out and stuff. And I look at how you prepare these horses and the thought process that you have going in, and you got to spend a lot of time. You got a lot of horses. That's hours and hours of preparation.
Yeah, when it's all you do, someone like me, you think about it pretty much all the time, and we try to treat the horses, as individuals, much like my mentor had taught me, and they're sort of like a painting. Especially when you have really promising young horses that you start from scratch, you start making the painting from scratch and you see which way it goes. And it's really good feeling when one really comes together the right way. There's many of them that don't. So I think that's the best way I could describe it to somebody. And, this one's coming together pretty well.
Yeah, this is great. You started out with a sprint. You stretched her out. You little by little, you're building the stamina. It's a great process that you have, and it's noticeable on pretty much every horse you train.
Yeah, and this horse in particular is a shining example of a horse that really wasn't ready to go on with it too. We had her, and we breezed her a couple times during the summer, and she breezed really well, but she just didn't come out of the breeze the way I'd hoped physically, just a few little problems here and there and nothing major. We just sort of stopped on her, and we brought her back and had her ready to go right by the first of the year, and here we are. She might not have, a tremendous amount of depth to her seasoning, but she does have 3 races, including a nice 2-turn race on a deep track at Aqueduct. But it's just a good example of, if you do the right thing by the horse and just let them come along at their own pace, you can still make the big races.
You've reached like a superstar status. Do you have to really talk your owners into, being patient, or do they just listen to you now?
That's a great question. I think it's more of a status of respect and trust. When you're able to, produce results, in many different situations or categories of horses, you start to gain the trust of your clients and they heed your advice. And, again, it's something that I learned from my mentor. I was fortunate enough to work for Bobby very late in his career, when he was probably the smartest and wisest, and also had the most trust from his owner. So I saw a man that had a lot of leeway to do really whatever he wanted to do, and he knew what to do. And, you have to work hard to get that sort of trust from clients, and fortunately I feel that we have it. And and I have a great group of owners, led by this owner, Mr. Clarman, who wants to do the right thing by the horse. And it's really a constant theme with the clients I have. And no matter how many they own or what level horse they are, they're all on the same page about just doing the right thing, letting the horses come along at their own pace, not pushing them through problems and such. most of the time you'll be rewarded.
Speaking with Chad Brown, who sends out highly motivated in the Kentucky Derby this year, Search Results, who figures to be one of the favorites in the Kentucky Oaks. People may forget, Jude, that when Search Results won the Gazelle back on April 3rd at Aqueduct, Chad mentioned the deep track. She actually went faster than the horses went in the Wood Memorial that same day by 0.2 seconds. So it was a very impressive effort. You mentioned Klarovich Stable, the owners, both Search Results and highly motivated. Also the owners of Crowded Trade, who at one point was under consideration for the Kentucky Derby. Does it make it easier when it's the same owner, when you're looking at two horses that maybe you're thinking about running?
Oh, certainly. It's a very similar situation that we had a few years back. We had a horse named Practical Joke, a horse named Cloud Computing, and they both qualified for the Derby with the points. You know, Cloud Computing being much lightlier raced than Practical Joke. So, you know, when they're owned by the same owner, and you can really separate them and try to take a good shot at both races. You know, the Derby's tough, and if you could swing and miss with several entries. You know, it's just such a hard race to win, and so we like to take our best shot, was our strategy then, and have something left for the Preakness. So fortunately enough, we have a very similar situation with these two horses this year, where we were able to rest Crowded Trade and give him a little bit more time, being a little more inexperienced than the other horse, and hopefully if he stays good, have a horse for the Preakness as well.
Cloud Computing couldn't have looked any better Preakness week. I mean, I was all over him the first time I saw him. I can still picture him in my mind walking down the path towards the racetrack, and I go, that horse looks freaking great. You know?
Yeah,
I
mean, me too. He gave us a good feel, and we had the benefit of having those 6 weeks in between races, and he really came around at the right time, that horse. So we'll see if Crowded Trade gets there, and we'll see what Highly Motivated does, because certainly if we're lucky enough to win this race, you know, I don't think we'd run up against each other. It'd be a nice problem to have. So
yeah.
I hope we're having that discussion.
He looked great this morning, galloping, highly motivated. Yeah. I thought, I mean, he just looked full of himself and really
happy. He continues
to
do everything right. Yeah, he's giving a good appearance out here, as several horses have. I mean, it's a really special part about Derby Week when you have this special training that they have. You get to see so many good horses out there and try to learn something. And I'll tell you, you leave the training session feeling really good about your own horse if you have a good one and he's in good flesh like ours is. But I'll tell you, you get a reality check because there's a lot of good looking horses out here.
Who scared you?
I don't want to go into that because in case I leave somebody out or offended or something. But I'll tell you, it's pretty obvious to anyone's eye out here. If you go out there, you could make a case, I think, in the Derby for 8 or 10 horses that really looked good out there all week training. So and a handful of good Oaks fillies. So it should be two really, really top races, and it's going to take a double-plus effort to win either of them.
Well, let's look at Highly Motivated, who's I wouldn't say he's under the radar. He's certainly going to be somewhere in the upper half of the horses that are getting bet that day. Huge effort in the Bluegrass last time out, where he came into a race that had no early speed on paper, and it figured like either Highly Motivated or Essential Quality had to go and the other one would be sitting second, and lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. You've made no bones about it that you think Highly Motivated is better when he has a target than going to the front. Although Caddo River isn't in the Kentucky Derby this Saturday, there are several horses who do have some speed. We saw Rock Your World go wire-to-wire in the Santa Anita Derby. Hot Rod Charlie went wire-to-wire. Medina Spirit can show some speed. What trip are you looking for with Highly Motivated?
Yeah, much of the same as I've been saying. It's just hopefully, first and foremost, get out of the gate clean and get up a good forward spot. And hopefully, at a minimum, we have one horse to follow, and a couple would be good. I'm by no means plan on taking the horse back, or I don't want to be, you know, anywhere from the middle of the field back. That'd be very detrimental to this horse's chances, I think. So I don't want to take anything away from him. But I'd rather not be doing all the work on the lead. If I had my choice, you know, having been around the horse quite a bit, he's just better with a target. And you could see that with the shorter races that he's run, his acceleration and his willingness to pass a horse. Saw it in his breeze here the other day. I broke a horse off just ahead of him, and he was, you know, by the turn, he was all over him wanting to go by him. So that's him. So that's my ideal trip.
That should help him get the distance too, huh?
I totally agree with you. You know, I think that's really the key to getting the mile and a quarter with this horse. If he's got a horse to follow, I think it'll take him there. And so we'll just see how it shakes out.
Javier Castellano has been aboard him for all five of his career starts. Four of them have been on different racetracks. This will be his first try at Churchill, but he's run well wherever he goes, so he seems to be able to take the track with him. Is that something that Javier gets off the horse after the Bluegrass and says something to you about that, saying, you know, if we could have been chasing him, maybe we are able to get the win? But unfortunately, it just, you know, you don't know who's drawing against you in those races. You don't realize that six of the eight runners come from 12 lengths off the pace, and highly motivated just basically fell to the lead.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what the conversation was. We would have liked to have the opportunity maybe to be on the outside. But that said, you know, he got a couple little breathers during the middle of the race. He had a really good horse tackle him on the turn. He maybe had to move, press the button earlier than he wanted. I think that would lend itself to what we were talking about getting the distance with a target. You know, but the other horse, he just found more near the wire, and he got beat fair and square, our horse, and the other horse certainly deserved to win. I would like to see a situation where we could get to the outside of that horse or any other top contender in the stretch and try to pass him on the right side. I think that would give us our best chance to win.
You just hate to give up real estate if you're on the lead, don't you? I mean,
yes.
That's a bad thing to do, like take a hold of a horse that makes the lead.
So. Yeah, no, and he rode a fantastic race. It came down to the draw. And like I said, the fractions weren't ridiculous. So I don't have any excuse for the horse losing the Bluegrass. I just think he got outfinished at the end. But I do think it moved him forward. And if we can get a little bit of a different trip, I think he's got a big jump ahead of him here.
Javi's riding so good, too, since he had his surgery and stuff. It's like he's back to the Javi of old.
You know? You know what? I think he's riding terrific. He's won a couple races for him at Belmont. And even the races that he hasn't won for us, I thought he's really been securing good position early in his races. And, you know, he's a consummate professional. I mean, he took care of his body. He's been riding a long time. And he made a difficult decision to stop for a while and do a serious surgery because he wants to ride longer. And it takes a lot to sit out and potentially miss some Derby and Oaks horses during the winter when people are getting mounts. And he just trusted the process of getting himself right for primetime season from now on, now forward, rest of the year. And I think it's going to pay off for him.
Well, Chad, we really appreciate you joining us this morning. One quick question before you leave. You mentioned that you'd love for him to be able to pass on the outside, and the draw wasn't the best for you in the Bluegrass. A few years ago, they used to let the trainers or the owners pick their post positions in the Kentucky Derby. I, for one, am glad they don't do that anymore. I thought that was the whole point of luck of the draw is luck of the draw. However, if you got to pick your post position in this field of 20, where would you be?
I would prefer to be somewhere from 8 to 12. If I had my choice, I'm sure a lot of people want to be there. In the middle of that big gate seems to be where generally everyone wants to be, and I'm no different. So if I landed in there, I'd be thrilled, and if not, you know, we'll just have to work it out the best we can.
Chad, once again, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Chad Brown, conditioner of Search Results, one of the favorites in this year's Kentucky Oaks, and highly motivated, who is one of the mainstays this Saturday in the Kentucky Derby. Thank you so much. It's been great.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me again.
Really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Boy, both of those runners for Chad have big shots this weekend, Jude. Search Results, she's the second choice on the morning line. She may actually go favored in the race. Malathat is the 5-2 morning line favorite. Search Results is 3-1 on the morning line, so that could go either way. Highly motivated. I know I'm a highly motivated fan, and it certainly sounds like, listening to Chad, that he thinks this horse can be even better than he was last time out if he gets that little bit of a target to run at.
Yeah, I think that was some good information, and Chad does a great job. I'm going to definitely have a few copies of the Chad Brown Oaks Derby double.
I would think, especially just talking about the Derby, for folks who like essential quality, and he is the logical favorite in the race. He's done nothing wrong. It's hard not to like highly motivated if you like essential quality, because he made essential quality work probably a lot harder than people thought, and he may not have gotten the trip that's best for him. So going to be interesting to see both Search Results and highly motivated this Friday and Saturday for Chad Brown. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Byron King from the Blood Horse will join us here on the Derby Countdown. You're listening to HRRN's Derby Countdown, your home for the Triple Crown.
The ultimate accolade for a racehorse is to be named Horse of the Year. To be enshrined to the Hall of Fame is to achieve immortality. As a stallion, genetic immortality is defined in two words: breed shaper, plain and simple. Two-time Horse of the Year and Hall of Fame inductee, Curlin is just that. Breed shaper, Curlin, the classic sire.
A five-time graded stakes winning earner of almost $3 million, Airdrie Studs Collected is the all-time leading earner by City Zip. Winner of the Grade 1 Pacific Classic over Arrogate, Collected also romped by 14 lengths in the Grade 3 Precisionist Stakes, defeating Accelerate. Collected bred full books of quality mares in his first two seasons, and his first crop yearlings will be unveiled at public auction later this summer. Collected stands at Airdrie Stud for 17,500 stands and nurses. Think about it.
Get in-depth handicapping advice on the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman look forward to all of the weekend's biggest stakes races and break down each one with expert analysis. Get a jump on the competition with the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, Fridays at 6 on Sirius 219, XM 201, or streaming at horseracingradio.com.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the Conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Silver Charm to the front on the inside, Freehouse on the outside, Captain Budget. It's Captain Budget on the outside, Silver Charm at the rail. Those two to the wire. Here's the finish. Silver Charm by a neck with Gary Stevens. Captain Budget on the outside, second by five, and Freehouse was third.
Dave Johnson on the call of the 1997 Kentucky Derby, won impressively by Silver Charm. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld live on site in the barn area here at Churchill Downs. Just turned into the 9 o'clock hour. Beautiful day here in Louisville. Horses are galloping on the track. We saw the Oaks and Derby horses in their dedicated time frame from 7:30 to 7:45, which is normal every day where they get the track to themselves. And now the other horses who are stabled here at Churchill are galloping by almost no cloud in the sky, and they're going to have a beautiful day for their Tuesday card here at Churchill, the first of five consecutive racing days, which of course culminates with Kentucky Derby Day this Saturday. Joining us now on the program, Byron King from the Blood Horse. Byron has been around this game for a long, long time. In fact, Byron and I actually went to school together in the racetrack program out in the University of Arizona. Jude, it seems like a long time ago. It's been about 30 years. Byron, welcome to HRRN.
Thanks for having me there, Bobby.
Byron, you have covered this sport for a long time, of course, many, many years with DRF, and you've been with the Blood Horse of late and do a fantastic job for them. We read a lot of your stuff online at bloodhorse.com. Not only covering the game, I know you're a fan of the game. I know you like to bet on the horses sometimes. Your impressions thus far of what you've seen coming in for the Oaks and the Derby runners, maybe in the last week since they've arrived here on the grounds?
Well, I guess a little bit of a surprise for me in watching Essential Qualities Works is even though he has worked well, he hasn't like passed his workmate in the work. He's recorded some good times, and I think from a Derby favorite's perspective, you kind of want to see everything go picture perfect. So I guess I was, I don't want to say disappointed, but somewhat, I think it could give you a little pause if you were betting him as the favorite. Now, granted, he's perfect in the afternoons, 5 for 5, champion. You know, so, and some horses are just unique in how they exercise in the morning. Not all of them are superstars. Known Agenda is not a morning glory by any means, and he's the Florida Derby winner. But I think, you know, a lot of these horses understandably make a good impression. I think some of the other horses that have worked really well, Mandaloon has caught the eye. I think he's going to bounce back from his poor showing in the Louisiana Derby based on his works.
Do you think that the works are enough to get Mandaloon back to where he needs to be? His last race was really hideous.
Horrible. Yeah. It was a horrible race. And I was chatting with, you know, his jockey, Florent Giroux, about it, and he said, you know, he thought he had maybe had a breathing problem or bled or something. That's the way that he just had no finish in that race. And obviously he checked out great afterwards. You know, I think we have seen some horses bounce back. You know, more recently I think of, you know, War of Will ran really poorly in Louisiana Derby and came back and ran a good race in the Derby in that year with Maximum Security with all the scrum and everything and then went on to win the Preakness. And, you know, you go back, generally speaking, you want a good final prep race, but there have been some, you know, like the Thunder Gulches and horses like that of the world that didn't really fire in their last prep but won the Derby, so it's not outside the realm of possibility.
That's a long time going back, though, to Thunder Gulch. We're going 25 years back to find one who runs a bad race and then comes back and wins the Derby. Speaking with Byron King of Blood Horse, you can find a lot of his articles and columns, rather, on bloodhorse.com. He's been out here regularly at Churchill Downs watching the Oaks and Derby runners. We saw them gallop by this morning. We didn't see anyone who stood out as bad. You know, and that's what kind of I'm looking for. You see a lot of really good-looking ones. But an example would be, speaking of 2019, Bellafina was the favorite in the Kentucky Oaks. Both Jude and I hated the way she looked in the mornings. She just looked like she wasn't happy. It didn't look like she was unfit or anything like that. She looked like she was unhappy. And as it turns out, whenever she shipped outside of Southern California,
she was unhappy.
She didn't seem to be very happy. From what we saw this morning, none of them seemed that way. They all seemed like they were well within themselves. Of course, it's perfect weather right now. Aside from Mandaloon and aside from what you saw in the Central Quality, who stood out to you in a good way, Oaks or Derby-wise, on the track?
Well, you know, who's a study in contrast is Soup and Sandwich, because if you watch him gallop, he's a little on the choppy side when he gallops, but when he breezes, he looks really good. He's kind of a funny horse in that respect, and there are some that are like that. It's like the faster they go, the smoother they travel. So I thought his works locally have been good. The California horses, they only got on the track for the first time yesterday on Monday, but their recent works out in California were good. Obviously, we've only kind of seen them have very light activity here, which is typical after not only a work, but after traveling cross-country. But they look good. I mean, I think they're very, very legit, good, healthy-looking horses. And, you know, I think the Derby, though, is, you know, because we're all here and we're reporting it, we do have a tendency to overanalyze this whole lead-up, you know, just a smidge, I think.
Yeah, it's like we've been working on it for the last, well, since Saratoga, basically, is when I start Derby prep in Saratoga. So I know what you mean. But I try to not have paralysis by analysis. I try to just try to keep it light and make little notes about horses and this and that. And then I look back and I go, well, that was a bad take.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so much that, you know, these horses are going through so much development. I think one of the challenges of the Derby is, you know, they go through so much development at this stage in their lives, and then so many things have to go right. You know, I was chatting with Elliot Walden today, who had China Horse Club and Windstar and Farm, with whom he's associated. They have Sainthood, who's a long shot. But, I mean, here, you know, they had Life is Good on the Derby trail just, you know, whatever, a month or two ago, a minor physical setback derailed his plans, and he would have been one of the two favorites, no doubt. So it's a crazy game, man.
It really is.
Byron, they drew the post positions yesterday for the Kentucky Oaks, a full field of 14 set to go to post this Friday. Any takeaways from the posts, any good, any bad? What?
Well, I'll give you a live long shot. I like Pauline's Pearl as a live long shot. She drew the rail, which I don't mind. I mean, some people, in the Derby, you naturally don't want to have it. And in her case, she's not an overly speedy horse, so I don't think she's got to be sent out of there. But it might allow her the opportunity to save a little ground early. And I think she's moving in the right direction. She won the Fantasy, and I think I'll be surprised if she's 20-1, which I think is the morning line on her. But I think she's a live long shot. And another horse that I'm kind of intrigued by a little bit is Search Results, who's 3-for-3. She's been run some really flashy figures and is obviously unbeaten. The one question mark I have with her is she's a little reluctant to switch leads. But Malathat, I think, is a very legit favorite. She won the Ashland. She looked beat in that race, and she just surged over the short stretch, you know, to catch past the Champagne. So it's a really good Oaks. I think it's a contentious race. I think a lot of value, and I'm looking forward to it.
We were talking this morning, Bobby and I, about how good the Oaks fillies looked. I mean, they may be better as a group than the Derby horses, and the Derby horses all look well as well, but the Oaks fillies just were wow.
Yeah, I mean, they, you know, it's such a, it is overshadowed by the Derby because every race is, but the Kentucky Oaks is the three-year-old filly race. I mean, it is just, I don't think anything else kind of compares. I mean, I'm not sure what they'll have this year, but, I mean, any other year they'd still have 100,000 people there, and it's, you know, such an important and lasting memory for the people that win it. But it's, there's some good bunches in there. I mean, really, some really nice horses. Clary Air, Travel Column. I mean, those are two very good horses coming by way of Fairgrounds, which I find is always very interesting that Fairgrounds produces year after year all these great contenders for the Kentucky Oaks, but oddly, for the Derby, they have not had a lot of production with just four winners coming out of that race, you know, to go on to win roses.
Another plus for your filly, Pauline's Pearl. She was Triple Crown nominated. Just her and Malathat were the only two in the Kentucky Oaks that were nominated to the Kentucky Derby.
I did not know that. You told me something I didn't know. Obviously, she's very well bred. I mean, she's one of these Stone Street horses with lovely pedigree, and I think she's just a developing type, you know. I see her kind of moving in the right direction, and I certainly think she's a good bet at that price. You know, she's not the most probable winner, but she's got a better chance than 20-1.
Speaking with Byron King of BloodHorse.com, Byron, you mentioned that Fairgrounds, over the last several years anyway, has done very well with producing horses for the, or fillies for the Oaks, not so much for the Derby. Let's turn to the Derby. Are there any preps that, you know, you're keying on for maybe saying, I want horses coming out of these races, I don't want horses coming out of these races when I'm looking at horses I like for the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I don't believe in handicapping with absolutes, but I do take it under advisement. I mean, I think sometimes we look at stats and we have to still consider the big picture. So take, for example, the Bluegrass, right? The Bluegrass has produced 23 winners of the Kentucky Derby, which is second only to the Florida Derby. However, only one since 1995, that being Street Sense, which is, like, unbelievable, right? I mean, it's the Bluegrass. Now, of course, some of those years were impacted by perhaps people not wanting to run on the poly track prior to the Derby. So those are factors at play. Now, is this year any different? I think potentially it could be. I mean, would Essential Quality, would we think any more of him if he prepped in Arkansas than, you know, the Bluegrass? I mean, it made sense to run him there because he was 2-for-2 there. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile there. He, you know, Godolphin owns him. They've got a huge farm in Lexington. So, I don't know. I'm not going to really necessarily penalize him for the running in the Bluegrass, but at the same time, I guess I would feel a little better about it if it hadn't been on such a cold streak.
Yeah, the Bluegrass kind of fell on hard times with the poly track, which is unfortunate because it always was a great race, and it's starting to come back. The last couple of years, it's you know, people in racing, you know this, they're so whimsical, right?
Right.
The race could have been the greatest race of all time. Oh, poly track, we're not running. Trainers aren't showing up to Keeneland. Everything's different, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, so people, it's off the radar. And trainers, how many times they run the horses in the same race over and over and over again. The reason guys win a stakes 5, 6, 7 times is because they've won it once and they want to go back and do it again. Oh, I know how to win that race. Blah, blah, blah. I'm gonna put, and that's what happens. And it fell out of fashion So.
And I think it had to also do with, I mean, six of the last nine Derby winners have been Southern California-based in the winter months. Some of them took their show on the road, like American Pharoah and Nyquist and so forth. So I think some of that, too, has to do with just the dominance of some of these California stables. I mean, who wouldn't want to have Bob Baffert train their Triple Crown prospect? I mean, you win six Kentucky Derbies, your phone's ringing off the hook, right? And then you've got Doug O'Neill out there, and you have, besides all those things, it just seems like a good way to prep a horse. So I think owners kind of follow that, too, in terms of where they send them. So I think that could be playing a role in it. But at the same time, now we're seeing some shifting, like Brad Cox, Clips Award winner. Now he's just got his stable has just blossomed, and he's got Judmont and Godolphin he's training for. And obviously he's based here. So therefore, with this kind of quality, these preps that are in Kentucky figure to be stronger in the years going forward.
We're going to speak to Brad Cox actually tomorrow on the program. Speaking of Brad Cox and guys like Steve Asmussen, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they're ever not on their phone. They seem like they've got 40 horses at five different racetracks, and they're winning all over the places. They obviously have phenomenal assistance and phenomenal help all the way on down, because they're not winning at a 25% clip one place and a 12% clip. I mean, they win everywhere they go. It doesn't matter. And I don't – honestly, Jude, I mean, it seems like it would be hard to keep one shed row going, let alone, two shed rows in five different locations.
It's amazing. The guy that really brought that home for me was Steve Asmussen, because we bought a horse off of his brother Cash. Ready to Live was her name. She was the first More Than Ready Stakes winner. And she was with Steve. And you could call Steve any hour of the day or night, and he would tell you exactly what day the horse was running, what track it was running, anything you wanted to know. And he knew it right off the top of his head. It was amazing. These guys, they just have a brain for it. And as Chad said, when it's the only thing you do, you're single-minded. You've got that down, and it is a talent and a skill.
And no doubt, and as Bobby mentioned, it is a lot, too, about staff. This week I enjoyed, as I always do, catching up with trainer, well, now he's assistant trainer, David Carroll. But David was a longtime trainer, and now he's an assistant for Mark Cassie, has been for the last few years. And David, to speak of experience, David Carroll himself had a Kentucky Derby starter. He ran third in 2008 with Dennis of Cork. And now here he is an assistant trainer for Mark Cassie. And beyond that, he was, none other than Easy Goer's exercise rider back in the day. So, talk about a guy with experience. And so naturally, these are some of the guys that these big stables employ. And, you look at Steve, you'd mentioned him, and Scott Blasi has been with him, I think, just about as long as I've followed Steve Asmussen. I mean, they've been together forever. They're a pairing, So a very, very talented group of horsemen. But you're right. It's a very hard thing to wrap our hands around, that you could really monitor 200-plus horses and know everything about them and be right on top of it. And these guys somehow managed to do it.
Shameless plug, we're actually going to have Mark Cassie on the show on Thursday as well, so we can ask him about
plug whatever you
about
want.
Doing all that. Well, Byron, we really appreciate you joining us this morning. Byron King from Blood Horse. You can read us stuff almost daily on bloodhorse.com, and you've done a phenomenal job for many, many years, and really interesting stuff, really informative, and it's for those of us who follow the sport as closely as Jude and I do and a lot of the audience does, we look forward to reading what you have to say, and get back to it, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, Bobby. Jude, it's good chatting with y'all.
All right, Byron King from Blood Horse. This is the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillandale Farms.
Eclipse champion Blame. Among sires with less than 10 crops, he has more Grade 1 winners than any stallion standing under $100,000, including Grade 1 winners Nadal, Marley's Freedom, Fault, Abscond, and French Classic winner Singa, plus these recent standout performers. With success on the track and with yearlings bringing up to $400,000, this proven son of Arch is truly a gold value stallion. Blame, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Dialed In, winner of the stallion-making Florida Derby, has been a leading sire of his crop every year, including being honored as the champion first crop sire of 2016. His progeny are stone-cold runners of all types on all surfaces, and he has two Grade 1 winners from his biggest and best-bred crop to date. Dominant Arkansas Derby winner Superstock this year, and Get Her Number, winner of the American Pharoah Stakes at 2. By AP Indy's Horse of the Year Mineshaft from a champion female family. Dialed In is the perfect combination. Standing at Darby Dan.
Thursday evenings, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, is the Brisnet.com call-in show. It's your chance to call in and let the Horse Racing Radio Nation know what's on your mind. Call us at 888-966-HRRN and discuss the topics you choose in the world of thoroughbred racing. The Brisnet.com call-in show, every Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 and XM 201, or streaming live online at horseracingradio.net.
I'm three-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I listen to Horse Racing Radio.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms.
Normandy Invasion has taken the lead on the outside. Orb is coming with giant strides in the center of the track. And here comes Orb on the outside now to take the lead as they come down to the 16th pole. It is Orb in front from Normandy Invasion. My Loot and Golden Soul between horses down to the wire. Orb has won the Kentucky Derby for Sean McGee. It was Golden Soul. Revolutionary came late on the inside. And then it was Normandy Invasion. And it was Orb today in the Derby. His final time was 2 minutes. 2.89 seconds.
Larry Colmus on the call of the 2013 Kentucky Derby, won by Shug McGahee's Orb. And Orb had been a mainstay stallion at Claiborne during that. Claiborne Farm, one of many tremendous farms that have their operation either in Lexington or in the suburban Lexington area. Claiborne is actually located in Paris, Kentucky, and where you're efforting to get the bloodstock manager and stallion season manager from Claiborne Farm, Bernie Sams, on with us. Bernie, welcome to the Derby Countdown.
You there?
Yeah, Bernie.
Hello?
Hey, Bernie, how are you
there
this morning?
I'm having trouble hearing you guys.
All right, well, we're glad to have you on. Thanks for joining us this morning. Claiborne Farm, of course, always doing a fantastic job, and their imprint is all over both the Oaks and the Derby this year. Of course, Orb being the sire of Obesos, Ironicus being the sire of Helium, both those runners going in the Derby, and then Flatter being the sire of Oaks runners Search Results and Pass the Champagne. Got to be an exciting time for you and everyone up at Claiborne.
No, I think everybody's excited about it. Always Derby and Oaks, and when you've got some interest in them, it always makes it much more fun. You know, the two Flatter fillies look like they got a shot in there, so that's nice to see. And the two in the Derby, we'll see.
Flatter, of course, once again the sire of Search Results, who is one of the favorites for this year's Kentucky Oaks. Pass the Champagne will be a little bit of a price. And on the Derby side, Ironicus, the sire of Helium, Orb, the sire of Obesos. When it comes to watching these horses in their prep races, or I don't even like to call it prep races, Jude. You know, I mean, these stake races stand alone. When Helium wins the Tampa Bay Derby, people refer to it as a prep for the Kentucky Derby. The Tampa Bay Derby is the biggest race at Tampa Bay Downs. It stands alone. It's a big race. How exciting is it for you at Claiborne knowing that Helium is a son of Ironicus, seeing him get the win in Tampa?
I mean, it's very exciting. I mean, you know, you take a horse like Ironicus, who, you know, wasn't one of these horses that came in and bred 100, 150 mares right off the bat. I mean, he's had small crops each year, and to see him accomplish something like that's even more rewarding, really. It was very exciting.
He was such a good horse. I used to love watching him run.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, as good as he was, to not be any more popular than he's been, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, and with that pedigree, distorted humor, and, you know, I mean, geez Louise.
The horse earned $1,000,001. He's a graded stakes winner. He's by distorted humor. Sons of distorted humor have been doing well. And to think there wouldn't be, you know, more appreciation for him when he came in. But I think, you know, again, he lost a couple times before he came in, and he was a grass horse.
Yeah, well, you know, people, for a while, they weren't breeding the grass horses, but he's one of those ones, well, we can talk about Flatter, too. $5,000 stud fee, right? Flatter was $5,000 when he started. I know, because tried to get as many people as I could to breed to him. Yeah, yeah. It's unbelievable.
I mean, by the way, Flatter is
really
not 5,000
story anymore. In that, you know, again, he started for 5,000 and did it the hard way.
Yeah,
but Flatter, you know, with that horse, though, I mean, he was dirt and he bred 120 mares the first few years, and the syndicate of people that bred, you know, that owned the shares, you know, bred to him and supported him with the right kind of mares and did a good job raising the offspring.
You know, one of the things that really sold me on him was looking at the Claiborne consignment at the Keeneland sale. The first bunch of babies, they just looked like they had all the parts. They were big and strong and good bone, and there were lots of things to like about him.
No, that's exactly right. And I mean, you know, he was the first horse we kind of syndicated and stood when I came to work here. And I mean, Seth loved him, believed in him, and said, look, he's got all the heart in the world, that horse does. You know, we need to take a shot. I was fine with me. That works. And you know, here he is today. He's consistent.
We're speaking with Bernie Sams, the Stallion Seasons and Bloodstock Manager at Claiborne Farm in Paris, Kentucky. Just a who's who on the Stallion roster up at Claiborne Farm. In addition to the ones we've already mentioned, Stallions include Blame, Run Happy, Mastery, Catholic Boy, First Samurai, War of Will, and let's not forget maybe one of the best Stallions of our generation, Jude, Warfront, there at Claiborne Farm. Tell us what's going on with Warfront.
No, you know, he's consistently good all the time. I think there's probably one of the favorites for the guineas this weekend is one of the Coolmore horses. And, you know, War of Will, who stands here now, won the Preakness, and he's been very popular, and the sons of Warfront are starting to get it done. So that's been very exciting for him to be a sire of sires.
Bernie, we're back getting close to what's more normal, quote-unquote, compared to what we were last year. And looking at the Claiborne Farm website, claibornefarm.com, it lists that there are tours available at Claiborne. For somebody who's visiting the Lexington area, how easy is it to book one of these tours, and what's involved?
You know, the best way to do it is do it through Horse Country and go online through Horse Country and book the tour through them. That's how it all works these days. I think we do tours at 10 and 11, and there's a couple tours during the week on a shuttle that we do at 1 o'clock, and they give them a tour out through the farm and look at the foals and see part of the farm. But the regular daily tours are at 10 and 11, and they're all run through horse country now, and you know, come out, and now there's probably, well, the last year with COVID, there were probably, I think we limited it to 15. I think we're back to 25 or 30 on a tour now, so there's a lot more availability.
Well, it's such a historic place, and all the great horses that have gone through Claiborne Farm, and I will never forget, back in the day, 1978, I went to Claiborne Farm for the first time and saw Secretariat grazing in the field, and I walked over to the fence, and he came running up from the big tree where he was grazing, and I fed him grass. I've got some pictures of that, and it was a tremendous moment.
Oh, listen, there, you know, I mean, there's a horse that through the years people still know who Secretariat are. They come out here, kids, old people, you know, young people. It doesn't really matter. And you know, one of the highlights of the tours is to see Secretariat's grave and get their picture taken with it. I mean, you go out there every day and there's somebody kneeling down, somebody's taking their picture next to Secretariat's grave. It's pretty remarkable. And you know, the wreaths that come around Derby and Preakness and Belmont time and around his birthday. I mean, you can walk out there right now, and I mean, there's pennies and coins and all that all over the top of his headstone. He's a horse that's lived through time for sure.
Bernie, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning here on the Derby Countdown. Of course, Claiborne Farm represented so well in both the Oaks and the Derby this year. I flatter the sire of both Search Results and Pass the Champagne, two fillies running in the Oaks this Friday. Ironicus, the sire of Helium. Orb, the sire of Obesos, two horses who figure to be big prices in the Derby. We know that, being that your allegiance is to Claiborne, you're rooting for Obesos or Helium, but handicapping the race, who do you like in the Derby?
Oh, you know what? I mean, I probably like the favorite, I think. That's what my man Mattress Mac's telling me. What about that?
Yeah.
Huh?
Mattress Mac betting, he said like minimum $2 million is what the...
That's what I was reading. Yeah, you know, I was over there on Sunday and somebody was telling me about it. I said, you know what he's doing? He said he's got a suite. He's going to come in and hedge with whatever mattress he's sold and go from there. I was like, you're kidding me. He said, oh, no, that's what he's done. And then it started, I guess it's now it's everywhere, but that's pretty remarkable.
He loves,
I mean,
those,
I, you know,
bets.
I probably cheer, you know, Dynamic One, which the Fifth Zone, a piece of him, was raised here at the farm. So I would tell you of what's out there, if it's not Helium or, I mean, Obesos would be great, but Dynamic One for the Fifths would be really special.
Well, Bernie, we certainly take wish you the best this Saturday, wish Claiborne Farm the best, and really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us this week on the Derby Countdown. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Bernie Sams, the Stallion Seasons and Bloodstock Manager at Claiborne Farm, well represented in both the Oaks and the Derby this year. Jude, a reminder to join us Friday and Saturday for live coverage of both the Oaks and the Kentucky Derby. Friday's coverage presented by Twin Spires comes your way from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday's schedule begins with a special Derby Day edition of our weekly Equine Forum show presented by FarmPaint.com from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, with live coverage of the Derby Day Undercard Stakes beginning at 3 p.m., followed by our exclusive radio broadcast, the 147th Run for the Roses, in partnership with NBC Sports Audio Network at 5 p.m. Eastern. That broadcast also presented by our friends at Twin Spires. All of that coverage will also be available worldwide with our free live streaming at horseracingradio.net. You can visit our website for a complete listing of nationwide affiliates and additional broadcast information. When we come back, our final segment on today's Derby Countdown, and we will be joined by a two-time Kentucky Derby winning trainer, Nick Zito, will be live with us here at Churchill Downs. You're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Triple Crown.
The ultimate accolade for a racehorse is to be named Horse of the Year. To be enshrined to the Hall of Fame is to achieve immortality. As a stallion, genetic immortality is defined in two words: breed shaper, plain and simple.
Two-time Horse of the Year and Hall of Fame inductee, Curlin is just that. Breed Shaper, Curlin, the classic sire.
The most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
Mind that bird has won the Kentucky Derby. An impossible result here.
And it is all Barbaro in a sublime performance.
But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby. American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
The Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 1st, beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on HRRN. HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Hillendale Farms.
Strike the gold on the outside with Chris Antley taking command. Along the inside, Best Pal into the second spot. Main Minister is third. Coming 70 yards to the finish and far away from the rail. Strike the gold wins the Derby by a length and a half. Onto the wire second was Best Pal. Then it was a photograph between the long shot Main Minister and from far back, Green Alligator was in the photo for the show spot. And the time on the board, a slow Derby, 2 minutes and 3 seconds, but Strike the Gold strikes the roses this afternoon.
Dave Johnson on the call of the 1991 Kentucky Derby, won impressively by Strike the Gold. Strike the Gold in those, I can still, Jude, see those pink and blue silks coming down the outside. Strike the Gold, Chris Antley getting up to win the 1991 Kentucky Derby. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farms. Bobby Newman and Jude Feld live on the backstretch here at Churchill Downs. A beautiful Tuesday, the first of five consecutive racing days here at Churchill Downs. And we are pleased now to be joined by two-time Kentucky Derby winning trainer Nick Zito, conditioner of both Strike the Gold and 1994 winner Go for Gin. Nick, thanks for joining us on the Derby Countdown.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How you doing, Jude?
Good. Good to see you.
You got a great name, Jude. You know that? You got a great name. I love your name, man.
Thank
Jude.
You.
I wish I had a name.
Too.
That'd be my next name. Nicholas is okay, but Jude's pretty good.
Yeah, we have the weatherman, Jude Redfield, out here. Every Derby, he comes out and does his broadcasts. And
really?
Yeah, they actually put his picture on an article about me, and I said, well, that is the best thing that ever happened, because he's really a good-looking guy, tall, thin, you know, all the girls love him. So I said, that was good.
Nick, when I think of Strike the Gold,
yeah,
the first thing that comes to my mind is the word dosage.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, back in the 80s and early 90s, people were coming up with reasons why you could or could not win the Kentucky Derby. And dosage was a term that was used for describing, you know, breeding-wise, whether they could get the mile and a quarter distance well enough to win the Derby. And Strike the Gold did not have the dosage. And then when Strike the Gold won the Derby, they changed the mathematics to where he fit, and you basically never heard that word ever again.
No, you never heard that. Dr. Ruhlman was doing such, you know, good work at the time, and my mom had the great answer for him. She said, you're either a good person or not. You're not. And Strike the Gold was by Alidar, you know, out of a Hatchet Man. Man, we couldn't understand it. We just couldn't understand it. I said, wait a second. You know, like, he's by Alidar. Green Tree Stable had all these great horses, you know, way back. Was out of a Hatchet Man mare. And, you know, they're bred to go long. So they changed it right after that. He became a chef de race, or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Sounds like Bobby Flay should be saying that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, that's what happened with the dosage. So They change, you know.
It has to be dynamic, though, as horses race and prove themselves. It's a dynamic system.
You know what's funny? Strike the Gold, and I'll say this. I'll jump into this. He was a very unique horse because, thank you for bringing that up, Bob. At that time, that dosage was working, so he broke that. He still holds another record. You might say, what record would he hold? And the record he holds is that he's the last horse to win the Bluegrass and the Kentucky Derby 30 years ago. Now, plenty of horses have run in the Bluegrass and have won the Kentucky Derby. But if you look it up, it's the last horse in 30 years to do that. That's pretty cool.
We were actually just talking about that with Byron King because we were talking about essential quality and how the Bluegrass, you know, there have been a lot of Bluegrass winners that have won the Derby. It's just not recently.
Right.
It's kind of, out of favor is the wrong term. It's just, that's just the way the trend has gone.
It's just the way it has. There's quite a few reasons, but still not significant enough why, you know, let's say you say the Polytrack was in there for maybe 7 years or whatever. What about the other 23? Still, you know, it's just the way, like you say, the trend has gone. But Strikey, you know, has that distinct, you know, that great thing going for him. It's not a bad thing to have, right?
That's good.
Anytime you do anything in racing that way, a horse, it kind of puts you up there a little bit.
Well, he was a tremendous horse, and a lot of people's favorite. You read these articles, which I read them all the time, you know.
Yeah.
My favorite Derby, my favorite. And Strike the Gold comes up a lot. I mean, he's a horse that a lot of people had an affinity for. Maybe that was because of you, or maybe it was because of the horse, or whatever the reasons were. But he's very popular still.
Yeah, the horse was popular. He was a popular. And you know what? That was Calumet, too. Calumet Farm bred that horse, and, you know, they had Citation, and they had so many great Derby winners, you know, over the years. So that was another thing, I think, yeah.
Strike the Gold would go on in his four-year-old year to win the Pimlico Special and the Nassau County Handicap, and he'd run a lot of other big races and a lot of close finishes where maybe he wouldn't win. Going back to 1991, what do you remember about that experience, you know, of getting him ready for the Derby and Derby Day and, you know, your feelings? You know, I can still see the video of you pointing to the sky after the win. I couldn't tell if you were thanking God or if you were MFing somebody, you know, like you swearing at somebody. But you were very excited, adamant.
I never heard it that way, but I'll take the first one. I was thanking God because I know I'm going to get in trouble if I answer that. That was great. But, no, there's so many things. You know, I'll tell you one of the things. You know, there's an expression before honor is humility. So all week, you know, you worry, you this and that, and I'll try to get as fast as I can because I know we're pressed for time here. I would basically live with that horse. You know, of course, I had a great staff, had a great groom, a great rider, Mary. May she rest in peace. She used to gallop him and all the people that were with me. But I would kind of like hang out with him, and I'd do him up every day. I'd do the horse up every day myself. So one day, you know, I wouldn't leave the barn. You know, like now, I just get something, they bring me something to eat or something, I just let it. So I was actually laying down, taking a nap on a blanket. And ABC had done the Derby that year, and Jeannie Willis comes over, and she sees me, I'm looking, and she didn't want to wake me up, but she was kind of like, kicked me a little bit there. And I looked up, and she goes, I'm so sorry, but I'm looking for Nick Zito. And I said, I'm Nick Zito. She goes, what? And that was kind of an experience. And then here's what I mean about honor than humility. So we got through the Derby, and yes, I was pointing to the sky, and so he showed me the way, this and that. So now I was staying at the Galt House, so I had a Calumet jacket on because they bred the horse, whatever. I had a Calumet jacket on. So I'm coming down the elevator, and I'm on like the 10th floor, 9th floor, whatever. And this gentleman, right, he stops, I think the 8th floor, I don't know, whatever it was, he said to me, he thought I was the elevator operator. This is the next morning. And he goes, 7, please. So before, I said, man, going all the way up, all the way down, the same day, the next morning. So, no, but it was a great, great experience. I just mentioned Buckwheat. I don't know if you fellas remember Buckwheat. Mm-hmm. He was an institution around here, a legend, and he would take everybody around. He was my first guy in 1990, so I miss him a lot because that was really something cool about the Derby, Buckwheat, you know. And that was nice. He was a great gentleman. And but the experiences were incredible. And just to get there, and you know the preparation, guys, that you have to go through. And the every day. And I think, you know, this year I like two long shots. And this is the reason. Everything has to go just perfect. It may be one of those years where, you know, you have to go through the champion, obviously. You have to go through this horse or that horse. But I think Bourbonic and maybe, you know, the horse by Dialed In, who I had, was favored for the Derby, Superstock, you know, they may go a long way. And actually, between you and I really like to see Steve Asmussen's mom because I thought she was fantastic. You know what I mean? She was fantastic, so I'd be kind of rooting for her.
Yeah, they're a great family. They're really into the sport. And
yeah.
I was lucky last year got to sit just a few boxes away from them at the Breeders' Cup, and they're into every race.
Yeah.
It's so great to watch.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Speaking with trainer Nick Zito, two-time Kentucky Derby winning trainer Nick Zito, saddled Strike the Gold in 1991. Can't believe it's been 30 years since those pink and blue silks came roaring down the outside with Chris Antley. Just 3 years later, Chris McCarron guiding Gopher Gin to victory in the run for the Roses. People forget Gopher Gin was a really good two-year-old.
Yes.
But he didn't win any races as a three-year-old before he got to the Derby. And he was running against the who's who of horses back then. I think he ran behind De Hare in the Fountain of Youth. He was favored over Holy Bull in the Florida Derby, ran fourth that day. And he ran into a pretty good horse named Ergen in the Wood Memorial. Didn't beat any of them in those races. But he certainly liked the wet track in 1994 here at Churchill.
That was a fantastic day. Fantastic day because I knew he liked the wet track and started raining. You know, I was okay with it, you know. And then, you know, a lot of people, thank you for saying that, because he ran second in the Preakness and second in the Belmont. That's pretty good, too, when you think about, you know, a Triple Crown resume. It's not bad, you know, winning the Derby second and Preakness second and then the Belmont. But that year, Holy Bull, for whatever reason, you know, maybe didn't like the wet. You don't know which foot, you know, goes which way. He got out there. McCarron rode a great race. He worked tremendous for the race. He worked 3/4 and 14 here, Jude, and McCarron loved him because he finished up good. And we all, you know, and that's everything has to go just right.
Yeah, well, that's important, and it's great to have you here because there's a lot of people that are running their first Derby horse and riding their first Derby race horse. What advice would you give these people as you come in? Because it's got to be a little bit overwhelming, right?
Well, I think the most important thing is they're a little more fortunate this year because the media, you know, with the virus and stuff like that. But, I mean, there was wall-to-wall people. You couldn't even move.
Right.
So that has to affect everybody because you're a product of your environment. And for the first time, you go, geez, you know, what is this, you know? So my first time was that way. And then the second time I had Strike the Goal was a little different because I knew what I had to do. You know, your obligations with the media and stuff like that. And especially if you got a horse that got a chance.
Right.
They're always around you. You know, the year in 2005, time goes by, I had five in a Derby. I had police tape for, like, the media. You know, we'd have that because it was, you had five horses. You had to talk about it. And I want to thank Mr. Steinbrenner, may rest in peace, because I didn't have to run all those horses. And, George, I had the favorite Bellany Road. Remember, he won the Wood Memorial by 20,000 lengths? No, he went short. Yeah. He broke the wreck, and Javier didn't realize it. He just kept going, and he was so excited to win that race, and he won by, like, 17 and a half lengths. I guess the word bounce, man, you know what I mean, whatever it is, was effective. But that, I think, is kind of a thing with the media. And as you say, you know, you're almost celebrating every morning because you're in the Derby.
Right.
And that's a big thing, really. Yeah. That's why everybody wants to run in the Kentucky Derby. It's one of our great things in Americana, as they say.
Do you think there's too many people now that run in the Derby just to run in the Derby?
Probably, but guess what? There should be more people like that. That's good for the sales. That's good for the business. That's good for everybody. Of course. Absolutely. It shouldn't. I would say, look, you could probably put a line. However, not so fast, Avenatti. That's why they have a thing called long shots. You're right or wrong. And how many times you go to the races every day and what do you see? A long shot. How did that horse win? How did this horse win? That's why I'm thinking maybe this year could be a long shot year.
Got beat by one on Sunday night.
I got to ask you one more thing about Gopher Gin, and we're actually going to have Jerry Bailey on the show tomorrow with us. Jerry Bailey rode Gopher Gin in the Fountain Youth of Florida Derby in the Wood Memorial. He did not ride him in the Kentucky Derby. He rode Bloomin' Affair. How did that come about, and how did you end up getting Chris McCarron aboard?
Well, Jerry actually was on a horse. He took off Gopher Gin because he was going to ride one of the favorites called Ergun. The great Steve Young trained him. He's now a famous bloodstock agent. But Steve,
we know him well.
Steve had Ergun. A lot of people forget. And obviously, you know, Jerry thought Ergun beat Gopher Gin, I think, in the wood. In the wood. So he said, you know, Nick, I'm sorry. I could ride Ergun. See, I love that between you and I. Lenny Goodman, the great jockey agent, told me that. Hearst Jacobs used to go crazy, the great Hearst Jacobs. He loved when the jockey took off. It's only good luck. I remember the day in the Preakness with Louis Couture's, Wayne had to make a coaching change. Again, Jerry was involved in that. He took Pat Day off the horse, and we wound up with Louis Couture's with Pat Day. So it always works out for some reason. You know, Joe, you trained horses. I mean, am I right or wrong?
No, it's absolutely
Hershey
correct.
Used to love it. Jockey take off. It's great. Yeah. He's love it. So I think there was something to that. But, you know, I never blamed Jerry. He rode, I think, the Champagne winner after that for me. And he was a great jockey of all time, one of the greats. So we won a lot of races together way after that. So, but I understood. And Steve Young, believe it or not, you know, had the favorite. But I don't think he ran. Right? He didn't run.
He ended up not running. So how did you and Chris McCarron get together? Because I made a call.
And I wanted to see. I said, maybe I'll take a wild shot. I don't think he's open. And lo and behold, I guess something happened to his horse, and I couldn't believe it. So things just worked out perfectly.
Yeah. You know, there was a big scuttlebutt about Humberto Rispoli getting taken off of, you know, Sadler's horse. And now he picked up the horse, Brooklyn Strong. So
yeah, there you go.
It's an interesting
Well, I really think it's business. It's hard, you know. I mean, sometimes I guess it works out, you know. I mean, who's better than Joel Rosario these days? And Joel Rosario, I have a fondness for him as a person, too. I really, really like Joel Rosario. He's a classy little guy. He's a classy guy.
There's old school and there's new school.
Yeah.
Obviously, you and I are old school.
Not so fast.
We were raised.
I know what you mean.
I'm old.
No.
We were raised in a different era.
Absolutely.
There was a loyalty with jock
100%.
Agents. They rode for outfits. They didn't care what. Oh, it's Nick Zito's horse. I'm riding that one. That's how it goes.
You know what they did? They had a condition book in their pocket, and they rode for outfits.
Right.
And they rode for their customers. Today, believe me, I don't know. I got Jim McInvale calling me on this famous phone I got. It's a flip phone. He's been calling while I'm on the radio here. Sorry, Mr. Mack, but I will call you immediately when I get off. But at the end of the day, that's what this is. It's all about that. It's all about this. It's all about texting. It's all about numbers. It's all about figures. It's all about this. You know, one thing I love about the preachers, I heard one the other night. He said, isn't it amazing? We have the world at our fingertips, the good and the bad, but we're not as smart as we used to be. And you're right, old schools, nothing wrong with old schools. You had that loyalty, you had that character, you rode for you. Today, it doesn't matter. Like, boom, bang, boom. That's the way, it's part of a.
What do you run?
It's part of society. I still think the game is great in one respect. You still have a word called long shot. You can't have that if you have the sheets. You can't. There's no way you could run. I couldn't run Deterra, I couldn't run Birdstone into Belmont. Neither one could have run if I went by the sheets.
He just retired, Birdstone.
I just saw him. I just saw him. Old friends.
Cool.
Well, Nick, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join us today. We know you're based at Keeneland and made the drive, but great to see you here beneath the Twin Spires, and just really appreciate you, my friend.
Now, right back to you guys. You guys do a great job, and thank you for what you do for racing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jude. Good seeing you, buddy.
Nick Zito joining the show, conditioner of two Kentucky Derby winners, Strike the Gold 1991, Gopher Gin in 1994, wrapping up a phenomenal first morning, Jude, here on the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farm. Want to remind everybody what we've got coming up tomorrow on the Derby Countdown. We'll be joined by Jerry Bailey and Randy Moss. They've done a fantastic job at NBC Sports, bringing us their analysis for many, many years. They'll be in tandem joining us on the show tomorrow. Jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. will join us live. He rides King Fury in the Kentucky Derby this year. Ed DeRosa from Twin Spires and BrisNet.com will join us live for some handicapping. Jockey Kendrick Carmouche will join us as well. He rides Bourbonic in the Derby, Maracuja in the Kentucky Oaks. Jockey agent Ron Anderson, he has both John Velasquez and Joel Rosario's book, and they will be busy both Oaks and Derby Day. And then trainer Brad Cox will send out two in the Derby, Essential Quality and Mandaloon, two in the Oaks, Travel Column and Coach. Going to be a busy day tomorrow on the program. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my friend Jude Feld, this is Bobby Newman. Thanks for joining us today. You've been listening to the Derby Countdown here on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms.